seconds.
One time for the underdog.
One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
If you're a writer, if you're a journalist, if you're somebody that creates content and you're wondering how you can monetize it, I'm sitting down with somebody that took her content, started a website called HuffingtonPost.com, and ended up getting a $300 million check for a simple website, and that's none other than Arianna Huffington.
Thank you so much for making the
fellow,
time.
Fellow immigrant.
Yes. Yes. We had a good time talking about our past. And by the way, before we get started, do you mind if I put my phone to sleep here on this phone bed here? Can you tell us about this phone bed of yours?
Yes. We launched Thrive in December 2016, so just over a year ago. And there was one product that I wanted to launch at the same time with a company, and that's this phone bed. It's actually a charging station. We are all addicted to our phones. Mm-hmm. What we recommend is that you put this little phone bed charging station outside all the bedrooms in the home. And then at night, everybody puts their phones to sleep. And you put them under the blankie, you tuck them in, you say goodnight. And the idea is that while the phone is sleeping and charging, you are sleeping and recharging.
I love the idea.
Over 70% of people sleep with their phones by their bed. According to all the latest science, the worst thing you can do for your sleep
is to sleep with your phone on your
yes.
bed.
Yes. The phone is the repository of every project, every problem, everything we're dealing with when we're awake. Therefore, it needs to be separated from us when we're asleep and recharging mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. we can wake up fully recharged and deal with whatever life brings us.
I'm going to be a customer. I'm going to buy
one. We're going to give you one.
Well, thank you so much. You started as a journalist, right? And you worked your way up as a journalist. And then from there comes, you know, Huffington Post. What was it in that moment when you said, I would like to start Huffington Post? And I think it was roughly around 2005, right,
yes.
is when that happened. What was the transition for you to go from a journalist to wanting to start a brand called Huffington Post?
So what happened is that I began to see that the conversation was moving online before Facebook and Twitter dominated our lives. And I wanted to create a platform, both for very well-known people who could theoretically write for the New York Times or anywhere they wanted, and for people who are students nobody had heard of mm-hmm. or anywhere in life who had something interesting to say. And I wanted to elevate blogging. On day one, we launched with blog posts by Ellen DeGeneres and Larry David
day
and
one.
John Cusack and Walter Cronkite. So it became a platform for interesting voices, known and unknown. And also, little by little, a very established journalistic enterprise. We won a Pulitzer. I wanted the company to be global. You and I are, as we said, immigrants. We believe that you need to bring the world together. So when I left HuffPost to launch Thrive Global, we were in 17 countries, including Brazil and India.
Really? So this is 17 countries that are contributing from their countries. So it's at HuffingtonPost.com. IND, was it?
Yes,
was it?
GR or whatever.
And
we launched every country with a partner, a major media partner. So the great thing for the entrepreneurs watching about doing a startup the second time is that you've learned a lot the first time.
What's the difference? What's the biggest difference for you?
For me personally, mm-hmm. the biggest difference is that when I launched HuffPost, I was living under the delusion. In order to succeed, you have to be always on. You have to sacrifice sleep, your health, your relationships, everything, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. this baby, this company depends on you. You are at your best when you are recharged, creative, connected to your wisdom and your best decisions. I was completely wrong at the beginning of launching the Huffington Post. And in fact, 2 years into launching the Huffington Post, I collapsed from exhaustion, sleep deprivation, burnout.
What was your schedule like at that time?
It was crazy. And on top of being a first-time entrepreneur, I was a divorced mom of two teenage daughters.
And all simultaneously.
All simultaneously. So there I am. I collapse. I hit my head on my desk, break my cheekbone. And that was the beginning of my wake-up call that actually led to Thrive the Book and Thrive the Business. Because I recognized that it wasn't just me who was burnt out. Burnout and stress are global epidemics. And they are particularly prevalent among entrepreneurs who feel indispensable and who feel that they have to sacrifice all the things that actually make us more productive.
What changed your mindset? Did your schedule become an 8-hour day, 10-hour day? What did you change instantly?
My life is very busy. It's not about slowing down. It's not about not being busy. It's not about not working hard. It's about refueling yourself. If you had to pull an all-nighter to ship a product, are you then taking some time to recharge, or do you keep going until you start making bad decisions or your health is impaired? Diseases that are stress-related are now 75% of healthcare problems and healthcare costs. So we are dealing with 75% of healthcare problems which are preventable and stress-related. That is like stunning.
Here's my next question I'd want to transition with you here. So you create Huffington Post. It succeeds, it comes up, it does very well, and there's so many, it's a platform where different people can comment on it, right? Do you think the idea that I can wake up today and just be a journalist and start writing on a website and create my own blog, do you think that diminishes the industry of journalism? You think that's good for journalism, where somebody just can wake up and start writing blogs about what they think about presidential debates? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think democratizing the media is a very good thing, provided that people realize that everybody has a right to their own opinion, but not to their own set of facts. Like, I think provided we have a reverence for truth, there is such a thing as truth. And if you honor what is true, if you honor the fact, then you can have any opinion you want, but it's on top of something that we can all agree on. We can all agree this phone bed is here. You may like the phone bed or dislike the phone bed. That's completely your prerogative. But if you say the phone bed is not here, that's the problem we're having now. And I think it's very important for us to realize the truth is not always in the middle. The truth is sometimes on one side or the other, and we need to acknowledge that.
When I turn on the news, you look at Young Turks, you know which way they lean. You look at MSNBC, you know which way they lean. You look at CNN, you look at Fox, you look at many of these different sites you go to, you pretty much can tell which way they lean. You're saying facts and truth. The other side's going to say also facts and truth. So how can somebody decipher all this information to say what is really the truth? Who should I really be listening to?
I think there are facts and truth. I mean, Donald Trump's inauguration crowd was not the biggest ever, which is what he claimed. So, you know, it's not like a difficult thing to assess. We are acting as though facts and truth are like so difficult to assess. They're not. I think there are a lot of journalists and a lot of networks that make it appear as though it's a difficult thing to assess in order to confuse and befuddle people. So I think this is particularly important right now when there are so many claims of fake news that are not really fake. There are some issues which are beyond left and right.
I actually agree with you there, 100%.
Let's take gun control. Mm-hmm. Over 80% of people in this country believe in background checks, strong background checks, and yet we don't have them. This is, you don't have to be on the left to want background checks, you just have to be sane. So we need to stop acting as though everything is divided into a left point of view and a right point of view.
But I think that's what the media has done, don't you think? The media's kind of sold it that way. What do we do as the viewer? Okay, let's just say there's media and then there's the audience that's watching it, right? How do they do proper research to get the right information for them? Where do they get it?
Well, the first thing is that we can no longer just talk about the media, because the majority of people don't get their news from conventional media. They get it from social media. They get it from Facebook.
That's true.
Yeah. They get it from Twitter. So I think we have a bigger problem, which is that as we've seen with the abuse of Facebook advertising by the Russians to impact our election, we have the problem that in the attention economy, a lot of algorithms are producing a very dangerous phenomenon, which is if you are conservative, who is anti-Obama and pro-Trump, they're going to feed you material that will respond to your biases, and the other way around. And they can even feed you a lot of falsehoods that you're more likely to believe, because they tend to play into our own biases.
So last topic before we wrap up here is business. Was there a moment where you had to learn these, you know, I had to learn how to do this, 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 to transition from being a journalist to being a business owner and entrepreneur? Because I think sometimes a realtor can go from being a realtor, I learn how to sell, so I learn how to sell properties, to then being a business owner, right? What was that transition for you? Because you didn't have experience being an entrepreneur. You did a very, very, you know, phenomenal job with that. What were some things you had to learn?
I think what I had to learn is to delegate. I think delegating is incredibly important. A lot of entrepreneurs think everything has to go through them. And it becomes really a complete mess because A, they can't possibly know everything. And B, they become a stumbling block for decisions, you know, if everything has to go through them. So I had to learn to hire great people and to delegate, not to micromanage. So here, let's take at Thrive. I hired a fantastic COO who used to run SurveyMonkey, who had a lot of knowledge about setting up infrastructures mm-hmm. and processes and quotas for salespeople and bonus systems and all the things you need to get right to be able to deliver a profitable company. When I left the Huffington Post, I took a couple of amazing people with me whom I knew extremely well, which is also a great advantage. You know, one of them had joined the Huffington Post as an intern, so he had been with me for 12 years, and he is now running the global expansion of Thrive. The other one used to be my chief of staff, and he's now running BizDev. So this is just a few examples of bringing great talent with you and not living under this delusion that, hey, I, superwoman, know everything, I'm going to do everything, because A, I don't know everything, and B, I'm not going to be as good if I try to do everything.
Now, were you ever are you naturally a control person? Like, do you like to control? So was that something that was hard to give up? Because, you know, entrepreneurs, sometimes they like control of everything.
No, absolutely. I just wanted to know everything, and I still know everything, but I found new ways to know everything. And what I say now is, you're on a green light, but I know everything, because we have ways where you're communicating what's mm-hmm. happening, and if I see something that I don't agree with, I'll interfere. But until I do, you're on a green light. You don't have to run every decision by me.
And that happened through you realizing that if you want to build a big, you need help of building a bigger business.
If you want
business.
To scale, you know, everything is about scaling. We just closed our Series B and raised another $30 million.
I saw that.
Because we wanted to grow faster. You have a lot of advantages if you are a market leader. And to become a market leader, you need to scale quickly. And in order to scale quickly, you need to build a great team. In order to build a great team, you have to be willing to delegate, because also, if you're a super talented person, you're not going to come to work for me if I have you on a leash. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
So it's not just about my time and my opportunity to make good decisions. It's also about what people are you attracting. If you're going to attract superstars, which is the only people I want to attract, then you need to give them a big playground to play.
Excellent. And this is Thrive, the third metric to redefining success and creating a life of well-being, wisdom, and wonder.
And I want to invite everybody to write and tell us their stories on the Thrive platform, and I'm going to give them my email address.
Please do so.
ah@thriveglobal.com. We'd love to hear your voices. You can tell us your stories of burnout, or you can tell us your stories of your life hacks or what you're doing.
We'll put that
to
link
be more
on here
effective.
As well. If you've had any of it, send an email directly to her. And I'm going to wake up my phone here. I think the tap already woke up my phone, but I'm going to wake up my phone here. And
it's charged.
Let's see if it is charged. You see, it's charged. And we had a great conversation. We didn't get interrupted. What a great invention this is, right? Ariana, thank you so much for your time.
So
truly,
much.
Thank
a
you so
pleasure.
Much for having us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star. Write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bid-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.